Good morning, folks. Thanks for joining us this morning for our worship service. It's a real pleasure and a privilege to be able to do this each week, and we certainly look forward to the coming days when we'll be able to do this in-house, in person, face-to-face. But until that time, we're just so grateful for the use of this technology and for your choice to join us on this journey online with us at KBC. Thanks so much. Choices. Now, of course, you have many choices on Sunday morning. Many choices, many different expressions of worship are happening around our city here in Ottawa and around the world. And so there are many choices to make. But choices, we are faced with them every day. Do I get out of bed or sleep in? Do I get dressed or do I stay in my PJs? Do I brush my teeth or keep people away today? Do I take a shower or take my chances? What to wear, what to eat? Which way do I go to work? Do I make coffee or do I grab one on the way? In reality, some of these choices have been modified quite significantly recently. You know, the office may be the kitchen table right now. It could even be in the same room that you are currently sleeping in. Checking the inbox may be as simple as rolling to the left or to the right and grabbing the smartphone off of your nightstand. Dressing for a meeting may or may not include outside pants at the moment. I know your secret. Don't worry. It's safe with me. This reminds me of the Would You Rather game. Did you ever play that as a kid? You know, that game that gets played as an icebreaker or get-to-know-you events at social gatherings where there are folks gathered together who might not necessarily know each other very well. Well, my daughter Olivia was faced with this rite of passage at school very recently. And Would You Rather is a discussion starter where you are given two choices and you have to explain why you would rather do one over the other. Now, here, I will give you an example. Would you rather eat a piece of Lovable Grandma's 102nd birthday cake? Or would you love to have a slice of this lovely lamb cake? Well, maybe COVID made that choice a little easier for you today. Hey, who wants birthday cake? Just a second. Let me blow on it first. As the Apostle Paul writes to the house churches in Rome, he makes these early believers aware and reminds them of the choice that they have between light and dark, life and death, fear and peace. Imagine receiving this letter from the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul, a word from the Holy Father given by way of the Holy Spirit, and testifying to the person and work of Jesus for them. Imagine huddling together in small groups, families huddling together in homes in Rome to receive a word from the Lord. I can imagine that one person probably stood and read aloud these letters or epistles to others and for others to hear. Talk about a real 4K media presentation and message. Well, we read in the book of Acts that the earliest believers gathered in small groups and sang hymns together. They broke bread, they ate together and prayed and shared the word together. Luke states that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. They did this in their homes with glad and sincere hearts. And we read, the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Isn't it a beautiful thing to be able to replicate what the earliest believers did together? Have you thought about that? In the past 6, 8 months, have you thought about that? Have you thought that perhaps it's a beautiful thing to be able to replicate what the earliest believers did naturally together? You know, we sit together in 2s, 3s, and 4s, and we share these same moments that the earliest believers did. We huddle around our pastors via Vimeo, and we share the apostles' teaching. We sing together, we break bread together, and we make much of Jesus together, not unlike the house churches in Rome of 2,000 years ago, give or take. The skilled orator in the house has adapted to be our pastors, teachers, and worship leaders on a big and small screen around our family rooms and sometimes our kitchen tables. But it has not changed who we set our affections on or what God has created and called us to be through Christ. Paul's word to these churches and to us is one of a control, one of a conviction, and one of Christ. Paul begins by explaining that someone who does not know Jesus will ultimately be controlled by what their sinful nature desires. He says, a mind only set on the flesh will actually be hostile to God and to his ways. They will be unwilling, actually incapable of submitting their will to God. Paul concludes that those controlled by the sinful nature in reality cannot please God. In Romans 7, verse 14, just the chapter before, we read that the law is God's law, that it is a spiritual matter, and that without Jesus, we are completely unspiritual, and we are sold as a slave to sin. Simply put, sin controls us. Further, in chapter 7, verse 17, Paul declares that sin is actually living and breathing in the individual who does not know Jesus. Paul goes further and says that this individual is helpless to control, which actually has a life of its own, living and breathing within. In verse 23 of chapter 7, Paul describes this as a war, literally a war that wages within us, to which he declares, oh, wretched man that I am. Well, it would be terrible if the epistle ended there. It would be terrible if these words to the house churches in Rome ended there, but it does not. Praise be to God that through Jesus we are not controlled by this darkness. Romans 8, verse 2, we read, because of Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets us free from the law of sin and death. Did you see that? Let me read that again. Because of Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets us free from the law of sin and death. Jesus is the law. He is the final word and authority when it comes to your standing before God. This is huge. This is absolutely huge. It is life-changing. It is transformational. Sinful nature does not control you. Period. End of story. That's the law. You have a choice. His name is Jesus. He has liberated you from sin. We read that in verse 2. His Spirit lives within you. We read that in chapter 8, verse 9. You are no longer bound by the flesh. You are no longer in the flesh. Chapter 8, verse 9. And there is actually no war waging within you. You are actually at peace in Christ Jesus. And we read that in our chapter in verse 6. Paul teaches that when we take on this mindset daily, that the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies through the Spirit that lives in us. Focusing our minds on Him daily, submitting to Him. Not my will, Father. I want what You want for my life. I want that to be what I want and desire. And when we have those conversations with God, and when we continue to deepen our relationship with Him, we call that prayer, by the way. And prayer is comprised of a number of things. Prayer is meditating on Him. Prayer is silence with Him. Prayer is reading Scripture with Him. Prayer is talking to Him, but prayer is also listening to Him. And when we submit to Him, all these aspects of life become who we are and how we function. And our daily walk becomes one of a person who is submitting to the Lord by talking with Him and listening to Him, by reading His Word and understanding who He is in Christ, by fellowshipping with like-minded believers and spending time with those who are on the journey with Jesus as well, by worshiping Him, by making much of Jesus. And by simply doing life together with fellow believers. You know, that's what the house churches in Rome were doing. And we can too. We can thrive and flourish in just the same way. COVID does not control how we live. Let me say that again. COVID does not control how you live. Neither does the flesh, because we live through the Spirit of Christ Jesus. It's the law, actually. Because of this, our commitment is to live for Him. And Paul talks about our obligation in this passage. It's about having that mindset where we fix our eyes and affections and our lives on Him. Paul teaches us here that our commitment takes the form of regarding the sinful path as simply being dead. The appeal of sin becomes dead and lifeless to us. It's like a Don Corleone is simply saying, "You're dead to me." Sin has no power over us. Paul says, we did not receive a spirit that makes us controlled once again to fear. On the contrary, God becomes the most personal parent we could ever hope or imagine. And we receive the ability to cry out to him, Abba, Father. And we have a relationship with him as a child does their parent. Now, I really want to build one of these this year. I can hardly wait, you know, for a big dumping of snow. Well, I can actually wait a little bit for that. But I do want to build one of these snowmen. I don't know if you notice it or not. There's something unique and different about this snowman. It's an upside-down snowman. And I want to build an upside-down snowman with my kids and my family this winter because I want to tell the world that even though this past year has turned everything on its head, it's going to be okay because Jesus has given me and given us a new mindset. I am not controlled or a slave to fear. You know, I couldn't help but think of that song. Right? Maybe you've heard it before. Not a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And that snowman that's going to sit out in my front lawn, that snowman will symbolize that the buds are going to live life differently. Just like the house churches in Rome. The house churches of KBC can and are doing just that. Would you join us in building an upside-down snowman this year? Would you join us in turning your world upside down for Jesus? Darkness need not control us. Let us choose the spirit of life and peace through Jesus Christ. Let's commit to him even in this upside down world. Amen.